J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
And so, as we said, tomorrow on ESPN, we're getting screwed again, by the way, because the game is on ESPN, and, you know, here in St. Louis, that's about 55% cable penetration, and I don't know what it is. And by the way, Bob Saget, are you allowed to say cable penetration?
It's very painful, by the way.
Morning radio, there we go. 12:07 tomorrow afternoon on ESPN. They can wrap it all up and then come back, and then we'll wait for the outcome of the Mets-Giants series. As we said, the Giants came back to lose last night. Final score, Mets over the Giants, 5-4 in 10 innings. White Sox and Seattle play this afternoon, 3:07. Oakland at the Yankees tonight. Bob Saget is here, and he's been watching the Dodgers all year.
I went to a game a couple weeks ago. It was just sad. It was like no score. People are knitting. You know, there's like 14 people and a corn dog. And then finally, you know, I don't even remember what happened, but somebody hit a home run. It went into the bullpen and everybody freaked out and the Dodgers won. It was like the end of laughing. It was just one person clapping. Everyone else was in the parking garage.
George Schlatter out in center
field. Exactly. Artie Johnson falling off a tricycle in a raincoat. You got to be old to know those references.
We should tell him.
Not that you're old.
And
I
we
didn't
are.
Mean that.
No, that's right. Oh, Bob Saget at Comedy at Centra. Art Viloff's Comedy at Centra. Fairview Heights. Tonight and tomorrow night shows at 8:30 and 10:30. We'll give you the number here, 618-628-4242, 618-628-HA-HA. All right, so you've had, this has been an interesting ride for you.
Yes.
Since the last of your television shows went off the air. And we talked to you on the air by satellite about
which
a month ago.
Which was fun, by the way. I was
we had a great time.
Satellite stuff, and you guys, I remember, you made me just want to put on a wig.
Well,
do a little dance.
We had a great time with you, and it might not have gone that well had we not had Norm MacDonald in here two years ago.
Right.
Because Norm was in, I'm doing a movie here called Dirty Work, Bob Saget going to do it. We're like, Bob Saget? And that's when everybody started to say, oh, no, you don't understand. Don't go by this TV. Don't go by this Full House America's Funniest Home Video stuff.
Yeah, forget those video show jokes, please.
You have no idea. When you were doing your stand-up back in the 80s, before the television career really kind of kicked in, people were comparing the stuff that you did on stage in comedy clubs to like Seinfeld, our buddy Larry Miller. I mean, people who were really, really...
Except I was dirtier than them.
Well, that's what
they're
said.
They're always Puritans. But it's weird because I see in the ad X-rated. I got to talk to my agent because it shouldn't say X-rated. I'm not X-rated. I'm basically suitable for 15-year-olds and how they talk. Yeah, I'm like the South Park movie, you know? I didn't even curse till I saw the South Park movie. They have a V-chip in my head now. I just curse for no reason.
But I guess what they're doing is because there is such a disparity between the way people are used to seeing you on network TV and what they'll see in the comedy club, they overreact by going, oh my God, he's X-rated.
Exactly. I don't want a 12-year-old coming in unless I'm buying her the booze. I got a 13-year-old daughter, and it's so scary to see the 13-year-old girls and what they look like.
I know.
It's really
upsetting.
They don't
look 13.
No, I'd take out two of them because that's 26, so that's fine. But no, I'm just kidding. That's not good. I don't recommend it to anyone. Please don't do that.
So how did it work?
Unless you're the president and know what you're doing.
So how did it work? So how did it work then? Because usually the networks get real jumpy around guys who, you know, want to make the jump from comedy into network TV. And if they knew that your act was like that, how did you end up on places like the CBS Morning News?
Well, what happened on the CBS Morning program was they had seen me...
Who was doing it then, by the way?
At that time, they switched it over from news to the entertainment division. So I was
Smith?
A brand new... But we were a brand new show. It was Marriott Hartley and Rollin Smith. Rollin Smith was a guy out of WOR. And they put the show together. Bob Shanks was the guru of television, wrote a book when I was in film school called The Cool Fire. It was like a handbook of, you know, the Marshall McLuhan television guru stuff. And it was wonderful. It kind of changed my life. I moved to New York, and then I got fired. So one day I was going in going, I'm not really funny on the show. I think I ought to leave. And he went, we want you to.
Well, what was the...
Okay, that's good.
What was the plan? What did they want you to do on the CBS Morning News?
Well, what I did on there was...
humorous essays.
Comedy videos. I went out and shot videos, and I would spend a lot of their money. And they said, you can't do this. You're making these mini movies. Some of it was very fun. But the first thing I'd done right before that was a movie with Richard Pryor, not one of his better movies, called Critical Condition, which
is the whole hospital.
I played
thing,
a doctor.
Yeah.
Right. And that was a great part for me. Michael Apted's a great director, and he hired me, and you know, it was just amazing.
You look like a doctor, by the way.
Uh-huh. People tell me that, uh-huh.
You look
very
like
studious.
A nice,
turn around, I'll check.
Nice, tall Jewish boy with little, you know, wire rim glasses.
Yeah, you would talk to me if you had a problem with your lower track.
Well, I may talk to you now.
I understand. My hands are warm. arm. Here, let me just check that. No, you seem fine. Are those keys? Wow. That's really cool. Is that a mug holder?
But little tubing left over. I can't. There's nothing I can. Yeah.
It's a syringe. But I, this cough. Turn your head. Hold me like a small boy. But it was a fun gig. And then I got fired and did Full House. But I was an actor. So, I mean, I really did study acting. So in addition to being a comic, and I studied acting to learn how to direct because I was also a director. I won a Student Academy Award for a movie I made at a film school, and I wanted to do directing. Got a job on Full House playing the non-funny guy, playing the guy who dust busts vacuums. At least they gave him a little bit of a neurotic thing. I didn't realize he would be the gay father of three. What are you going to do? Nothing wrong with that. You know, it's beautiful. It was three men living in San Francisco, raising three girls.
Yes. Nobody would ever have imagined the path that your career would take based on the way it started.
Yeah. And you don't quit. They put you in a helicopter like McLean Stevenson and blow you up in MASH, you know? So you don't say, I'm leaving. And they go, all right. You know, so we'll replace you. And next thing you know, Dick Sargent's playing your part.
So if you were a essentially struggling actor, what other jobs did you have when you were trying to get things going?
Well, I was, I did a guest part in America's, America's Most Wanted. No, I was on Greatest American Hero. Always sounded like America's Funny
William Cat, yeah.
Exactly. And Robert Culp had a scene with the two of them and Connie Selica. Very exciting.
Did you ever have to work out of the business?
I was a deli clerk when I was in film school.
Really?
Until I was 22.
Really
good?
It is
funny, isn't it? I was fantastic, man. Nobody could slice like me.
Nobody.
In fact, when I was working at the morning program on CBS, you're going to love this, they would pick me up in the morning, CBS. I had to be at work at 5, and then they wouldn't take me home. So they'd have a talent car pick me up in the Upper West Side, take me to West 57th, but they wouldn't drive me home because they weren't budgeted for that. Just get him there. We don't care how he gets home, right?
Did you walk home?
Yeah, I did. It was 30 blocks, or I'd take a subway or a bus. Nobody cared. I was unknown, you know, relatively. I was a stand-up. I'd done some HBO stuff, but still nobody cared.
Don't have to worry about being stopped for autographs. Hell, you're on the CBS Morning News.
Hope someone stalks him. You know, they wanted me to get taken out. They didn't care. So what happened was that there was a deli called Zabar's, and I went, I'm a deli guy, we'll shoot a video. I was shooting all these videos, so I cut deli at Zabar's. The manager of Zabar's, and we have a camera crew filming it for like 4 hours, he comes to me and he goes, you want to work here? And I go, no, I'm on the morning program on CBS. It's
big,
network
big
in
time
in the morning. He right. says, yeah, that's in the morning, I've seen you on there, you want to work afternoon? I was like, I don't think I'm doing good then, huh?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, January 10th, 2022, 302 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Yeah, that one, little segment we just played goes back to, I want to say back to the year 2000, maybe? Yeah, because Karen Kelly was in on that, so that was probably right. We have had Bob Saget on the show a number of times since then, but I played that one for you because that one was in the studio. We had done a couple of satellite interviews with him too, but yeah, that one really stings. Whenever you got a guy that young, and again, we're living in an era now where 65, when I was a kid, 65 was ancient. Now, 65 is like people still listening to rap at age 65. These days. And Saget was one of those guys that a lot of people didn't understand because there were so many different versions of Bob Saget. You had the guy who was a trained actor. He was a former host of, you know, one of the co-hosts on the CBS Morning News back in the 80s. People have completely forgotten about that. Then he got fired from that job, got the job on Full House. It was sort of like, you know, one of those America's Dad type things. And then after years of doing that, he said, I want to swing the pendulum as far away from family entertainment as I can take it. And so, you know, did the Aristocrats movie. And, you know, his stand-up stuff was known for being some of the filthiest stuff ever done on stage. He would make jokes about his father being a homosexual, but people just found it funny for some reason. You know, even if it wasn't necessarily their cup of tea, they found it funny. And there's the story of Bob Saget. No word on foul play. No signs of drug use or anything like that. He was in the middle of a stand-up tour. This happened right up the road from where I'm at right now in Orlando. He was only 65 years old. So his family had a history of, I think it's pronounced scleroderma, where, I don't know, like your joints or your blood vessels or something just, you know, start drying up and tightening up and stuff like that. I want to get that right here. Let me just read. Chronic hardening and tightening of the skin and connective tissues. Scleroderma is in a group of rare diseases that more often affects women, commonly occurs between the ages of 30 and 50. He lost a sister to this disease, and he, you know, did a lot of fundraisers for not only awareness, but also just trying to raise money. And while one of the funniest comedians working had a very, very extremely serious side, there were some interviews that he did with CBS Morning News, the current version of that. They were showing clips of it this morning, and he was like, you know, very, very deadly serious. So it's one of those cases where we're going to have to wait a little while to find out exactly what the cause of death is. But a 65-year-old guy should not be passing away like that. Now, I can tell you we're going to go long here today on the podcast. Normally it gets you 30 minutes, but we're going to go long today because while I was digging stuff up for the show today, I stumbled across something where there are references to Bob Saget, and you'll hear that towards the end of the podcast today. It runs a little long today, as we said, but I don't think anybody's going to complain because very, very extremely entertaining. We lost Sidney Poitier since we spoke last Friday. He was 94. I loved Lilies of the Field, but I pretty much loved anything he was in. And again, back in the days when the Oscars, I don't even believe, were televised, because what they were showing was film of him being the first black man to win an Oscar for Best Actor. That, of course, put him in a position of prominence, which he used, I think, very, very admirably for the rest of his life. Alec Baldwin denying rumors he's not cooperating in the investigation of that shooting. He's like, that's bullshit. Ireland Baldwin, his daughter, suffers from something called cardiophobia, meaning she's constantly worried she's going to die of a heart attack. Apparently, she goes around with her own blood pressure machine to make sure that her mind can be put at ease and that she's not going to die. It's weird. You hear about that stuff every once in a while about people, you know, dragging something around like that. I didn't even know there was a disease like that. Well, I guess it's not a disease. It's an affliction, a condition. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, I guess it was about a year ago, revealed that she was into women as well as men. Says she lost 11,000 social media followers in one day because of that revelation. All right, as long as we're with the show business, let's just do all of that right now. CBS doing a female-driven reboot of The Honeymooners about a couple who are, quote, determined to have a marriage where they are true equals in every way, end quote. That does not excite me. COVID-sniffing dogs being used by bands to find traces of the virus in crew members, entourage, and backstage guests. This will hopefully prevent them from having to prematurely cancel a tour. Late Night Tonight, John Cena, I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Steve Harvey, I'm with Jimmy Kimmel. Gayle King, I'm with Colbert. Seth Meyers has Bernie Sanders. The Bachelor tonight on ABC. Hillary Duff guest stars on the first group date. We lost Dwayne Hickman in recent days. The Many Lives of Dobie Gillis. And also the Woodstock organizer Michael Lang. And when I posted the thing about Bob Saget on social media last night, there were quite a few people who said stuff like, what the hell is going on? We're losing everybody. And I had to remind those people that I've been warning about this for years now. We're living in this period of time where all these cultural icons, and because of the fact that we had the invention of television and lots of new technology involving ways that people could listen to music and be exposed to entertainment and sports and even politics, for that matter, we have this explosion of cultural icons that have been generated by this country and by the world really in about the last 50 or 60 years. I don't believe there's ever been an era like this, but it did have to do with the explosion of technology, as I said. And now all of these people are reaching a point in their lives where life expectancy is starting to become an issue and where a lot of people would have been a lot better to themselves had they known they were going to live this long. So unfortunately, you know, look, we lost Tom Petty. David, this is the anniversary today, 6 years ago, of the loss of David Bowie and also Neil Peart from Rush. That was 2 years ago. So, you know, as I mentioned last night, I got some bad news. We're going to have more of this, a lot more of this, in the upcoming years. And this is not good news for me because I had one of the more disturbing conversations I've had in quite some time yesterday evening, and I can't tell you about it because it's private, but it involves people that you know from St. Louis who are not necessarily being treated particularly well, who don't have any reason at all to be treated that way, but people are really letting me down these days. Someday maybe I'll be able to tell you this story about this phone call yesterday evening, but right now I can't do it. But I'm telling you, I had sort of a visceral reaction to the whole thing. I just don't understand people. There was a time in my life where I thought I had it all figured out. I don't have shit figured out. I will never understand man's inhumanity to man and how people can watch something going on in their own community that's really sort of beautiful and innocent and involves people who didn't ask to be thrust into the limelight, but who are and handle it with grace and still end up being criticized and even ridiculed. I'm a little low on the human race this morning. All right, what else we got? Bill Murray going to play a villain in the next Ant-Man movie. Drew Barrymore hosting Scream guests all week on her talk show. They're trying to save that. I don't think it's doing well at all. But Nev Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette are all going to be on. David Arquette, by the way, formerly undergoing training right now to be a clown. A lot of people would argue he's already there. Chip and Joanna Gaines, new Magnolia Network that used to be DIY. They changed the name of the network. Anyhow, they've already pulled a couple of home improvement shows over accusations of shoddy workmanship. And it's not just a few either. A lot of people are saying, oh, it looked great on TV. And they, you know, cranked the thing out in a couple of days. And then we had some contractors come in and look at the work. And they're like, who the hell put this together? They have to have stuff torn out and redone the right way. One of God's greater creations. She did a couple of scenes in one of the final episodes of The Sopranos with James Gandolfini, and I just said to myself, who is this woman? And I didn't even know she was on a TV show called Person of Interest, but Sarah Shahi is 42. She also did some segments with Craig Ferguson on his old talk show, and she was absolutely great. She was like very suggestive and semi-dirty and everything like that. And when a woman looks that good and has sort of a foul mouth, oh my God. If you're in the right mood for something like that, Sarah Shahi. And you can call those episodes up of the Craig Ferguson show and watch it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Sean Colvin, 66 today. That really came and went. Sonny came home. Pat Benatar, 69. George Foreman, 73. Donald Fagen, a Steely Dan, 74. Rod Stewart, 77. Back in the year 2000, this was the day we learned from Melissa Etheridge that David Crosby fathered by artificial insemination her child. Speaking of James Gandolfini and The Sopranos, it premiered on HBO on this date, 1999, 23 years ago, 6 seasons. Elvis recorded Heartbreak Hotel on this date in 1956, and everybody knows the John and Lorena Bobbitt story. She had cut off her husband's thing with a kitchen knife while he was sleeping, by the way, and then took it with her, got in the car, and was driving down the road and just rolled down the window and threw it out. Police found it in a park and doctors reattached it. And then somebody in the porn industry said, hey, let's give this guy a job in pornography. And I did see one of the episodes and it looked like somebody who had to have his penis reattached. It was not memorable movie making, though. It's amazing who we want to see with their clothes off. It's sort of like, remember Faye Resnick? Faye Resnick was a very attractive African-American woman who was a friend of OJ's wife, and she was called in to testify. They were trying to get information, see if she knew anything. And within a couple of months, people were like,
She has a dead girlfriend. I think I'd like to see her naked. Where does that logic come from? I guess it's just celebrity. Anything you can do to sort of separate yourself from the rest of the herd, if you can look like you're more important than all of the rest of us, the first thing people want to do is see you naked. All right, after that wild last game last night on Sunday Night Football, where the Raiders came back with nothing on the clock to kick a field goal and win the game, here is the NFL matchup now for the first weekend of the postseason. And if you're teetering on the brink of divorce and your wife isn't a football fan, or your girlfriend has really had it for the amount of time you sit in front of the TV watching football, I got bad news. Because now, not only are there two games on Saturday, there's three games on Sunday, and for the first time ever, they've added a Monday night football playoff game. I mean, my wife likes football, and even I'm going to have a hard time getting away with seeing all these games. All right, so we got Vegas at Cincinnati. That's going to be at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. Then New England at Buffalo, and that's at 7:15. I don't know, playing a night game in Buffalo in January? That could be interesting. Then on Sunday, Philly at Tampa Bay. That's at noon on Fox. San Francisco at Dallas at 3:30. Pittsburgh at Kansas City in the night game at 7:15. And then, like I said, the first ever Monday night football playoff game has Arizona at the Rams. That's at 7:15. The Blues have gotten a little hotter in recent days. And Chris Pronger's number 44 is going to be raised into the rafters before the game on January 17th. So you might want to get your tickets early for that one. Again, January 17th, the Chris Pronger ceremony. One of these days, I'll tell you my Chris Pronger story. We ended up, through some sort of clerical error, we ended up sitting together viewing one of the most historical moments in St. Louis sports history. But I'll tell you that story some other time. The New York Yankees have named Rachel Balcovic as their low A affiliate manager. First time we've got a woman managing a minor league baseball team. And you knew that was coming. I think everything really started to change as far as women in sports when you had that little girl who was a pitcher in the Little League World Series. Remember that kid from the Chicago suburbs? A black girl? And she was really good. I remember joking at the time that if she ever blows out her elbow, she'd have to have Olivia Newton-John surgery. Good morning, everybody. But now you've got, you know, referees and coaches in the NFL. I don't know that it's going to be exactly the same as a situation like, you know, Jackie Robinson and the beginning of African Americans in professional sports. But I think you're going to see a lot more women doing a lot more things in professional sports. I was watching the movie The Natural over the weekend. I've probably seen it about 75 times now, and it, as you know, has a little special meaning for me because I actually got the chance to work on the set of The Natural. They were shooting the baseball seasons at the old War Memorial Stadium in Buffalo when I worked there before I moved to St. Louis, and I got a job working the whole thing, and it was fun. And I got to play catch with Robert Redford. Not baseball catch, by the way, football. He brought a football to the set every day. You could not speak to him unless he spoke to you first. If you walked up to him or even said anything to Robert Redford, you got shown the door and you weren't let in again. If he said something to you, you could respond. That was it. And a lot of times I was just sort of, you know, standing, you know, outside the third base line or something. He would just sort of motion to me like, here, catch this. And he would throw me the ball and I'd throw it back. But in watching that movie, I just, you know, the character that Robert Duvall created in Max Mercy, my God, what a great character. And it was on this date in 1998 that I was in Los Angeles. It was one of those piggyback things where they said, we want you to come to L.A. to interview Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore for The Wedding Singer. In 1998, that's where she kissed me on the hand, by the way. And I interviewed Adam Sandler for that. It was a lot of fun. And then the next day, we saw this movie called The Apostle, which nobody saw, but that I would recommend. Robert Duvall plays a preacher. He's married, by the way, to Farrah Fawcett. That's where I think a lot of people sort of got lost in the credibility issue of the whole thing, because it's like, Robert Duvall, okay, great actor. We'd love to see him. He's married to who? He's married to Farrah Fawcett in the movie. But, you know, they both did a good job. Really, really good movie. If you're looking for a good rental sometime, I would get it. It's a great performance by Duvall. And then I've already alerted Dave Murray, who's still on the air doing some radio in St. Louis, that it was on this date in 2019, yes, 3 years ago, that people tried to leave their places of business on a Friday afternoon, but Mother Nature had a different idea. And it was some bizarre combination of freezing rain and light snow and pellets and everything like that. And people who normally had like a 40-minute drive home or a 20-minute drive home on a Friday evening were stuck in their cars sometimes for 5, 6, 7 hours because cars just couldn't. Well, they lost the ability to negotiate even a slight grade in the highway. And you recall, Friday night, Highway 40 just littered with cars on the road. Nobody could get anywhere. They had brought Jim Cantore to town. You see Jim Cantore show up on the city limits, get the fuck out of town because it's bad news. The Weather Channel shows up with their satellite truck. It's like, can I hitch a ride when you leave? Because this is not good. But that was 3 years ago, the Snowmageddon on a Friday night in St. Louis.
The A-List interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Comedian Bob Saget. You had two incredibly successful shows, which are now obviously in syndication. Pretty much you can either see Full House, America's Funniest Home Videos, pretty much anytime, anywhere, in any city in America. You don't need to work anymore, do you?
Well, of course I do. I have three daughters. I have a very happy ex-wife. And I pay my parents' cell phone bill. And now I've got a girlfriend who's 14 and I'm putting her through junior high.
Yeah, so the world got the news last night that Bob Saget passed away at the age of 65. We don't know very much above and beyond that until they do the autopsy, and we'll find out why a 65-year-old guy just sort of drops dead. And it's shaken a lot of people up because he was in St. Louis many times, and a lot of people saw him in the comedy clubs, and then afterwards he would sign autographs and just sort of hang out a little bit. So a lot of people felt like they knew him also just from watching his various TV shows for so long, in both Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos. We started the podcast today with an interview that we did with him from about 20 years ago. But as I was digging through my archives, trying to find what I could find that we had of Bob Saget, I stumbled upon this. Of course, he did the show with Dave Coulier. And Dave Coulier had come into town, and Trish and I were doing talk radio at the time. And Coulier comes to town, and he's hanging out with Kelly Chase. So we coerced the two of them to come into the studio together. And this, by the way, right on the heels of something that I was asked to do by the St. Louis Blues. It was the National Hockey League annual banquet, and it had to be like 800 people up at Westport at one of those big banquet halls, one of the hotels. And guys are going up there on the dais. Everybody's in tuxedos, right? And you know, they're up there on the dais, and guys are making speeches about how great hockey is, and Gary Bettman is up there. And then, you know, I remember Mark Grace, former first baseman for the Chicago Cubs, big, big hockey fan, big Blues fan, by the way. And he was there. These guys are all on the dais. And at one point, they say, well, now we're going to bring out a guy who, and they gave me this script. I don't know who wrote it, but it was the filthiest thing ever to come out of my mouth. I was playing a retired hockey player, and they gave me a jersey and a helmet, and I was to go out there to do what is called a two-spot. And that just means two comedians up there doing a sketch, a la Sonny and Cher, the Smothers Brothers, any sort of comic duo. And of course, the whole thing was a put on. And all I was there to do was to call Kelly Chase, who was being roasted by everybody up there, but especially Dave Coulier from Full House. And I was just supposed to call him basically every awful name in the book. But they put together epithets, phrases, if you will, that even, you know, sailors would say, hey, back off there a little bit. It was the filthiest thing I've ever done, but it got screams. I mean, these guys were on the floor. I didn't write it. All I did was perform it, this little two-spot with Dave Coulier. So now that sets the stage. Here comes Kelly Chase. Here comes Dave Coulier into the studio, and here's how it sounded. And you'll hear references to Bob Saget in all of this, but you'll also just get a good laugh, which is something I think we could use this morning. Here you go.
Somewhat famous hockey star, Kelly Chase, famous. And also our buddy, Dave Coulier. There he is right there. A tearful reunion. The last time I saw you was right here at the Sheraton Hotel, and you and I were doing a two-spot at the roast of this guy right here, Kelly Chase. How you been?
That was a beautiful evening.
I've never recovered.
Just adorable
entertainment. I need to hear your side, because I heard his side the other day. I need to hear your side of how it went down without the word.
Got to be filthy. You know, and I got to be, you know, the guy who was basically making him say filthy things.
So Bruce Affleck from the St. Louis Blues organization, former player and everything like that, he contacts me. He says, Dave Coulier is going to come in, and he needs somebody to do a two-spot with him. A two-spot is like a Sonny and Cher, Smothers Brothers, whatever the case may be. I'm like, oh, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And it's to blast Kelly Chase? Absolutely. Where do I sign up? and only then, later on, a couple of days later, does Affleck send me the script via Dave Coulier, and it's like, I don't know. You know, it's been a long time. I was never in the Army or anything like that, but I've heard that epithets are sort of constructed in that way, where you just basically take a list of all the dirty words there are and just jam them together and then put Kelly Chase's name at the end. And that's the bit.
Pretty much. Yeah, I think we started off with, Kelly, you're a man who's respected not only by your former players, people in the NHL, and your family and friends, but we all love you. And I think you said something like, Kelly, you fat bleeping bleep 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 bleep. And that was our bit.
It was a banner night for you, Chaser, huh?
And they absolutely abused me right from, you know, I mean, assuming what type of act I had on the road as a player when I was young to, I mean, you know.
Well, how do you guys know each other? From hockey?
We know each other through mutual hockey friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long now?
Through Brett, right?
Geez, a long time.
The Brett Hull connection?
Yeah. Well, Bobby Jr. and Dave are good buddies. And of course, you know, I lived with Brett roomed with him for 6 years or 6.5 years. And so it's been a long time. And then he's involved in all of the charity hockey games that we've been doing in the NHL for 20 years that I've known. So we just, you know, in the same circle of friends.
By the way, that house that Holly lived in took on a little added importance recently, because that's where August the 4th, where that little incident took place. That was Brett Hull's old house. And did you live in that house with him?
I didn't live. I roomed with him on the road.
On the road.
I was the one that woke him up every morning in that house. Actually, he built that house, Brett did. Yeah, him and Allison designed it and built it. And then, I lived down the street on Geyer. I didn't live in houses like that.
Yeah, well,
I had a brick stone with two bedrooms in it, okay, one bathroom. Shanahan and I rented that, and then I would go.
And Shanny moved into that house later, didn't he?
He moved into Warson. I stayed in the little brick. You know, two
trying
bedroom.
To keep the houses all straight here. It's like John McCain doesn't know how many houses he has.
Well, in Cooler, you'd love this. Brett comes home one day and he's like, I said, he goes, not much stuff in the basement. And you can see him saying that. You got to do some Bobby and Brett
Not that much in the basement. And then Senior chimes in, well, why don't you buy something?
and so he says to me, we got to fix this up. So we end up, he does it.
Well, I went in there to interview Holly once, and I go in there, and we're sitting on the floor. He has no furniture in the place. He thought he was going to be traded, so he didn't want to buy any furniture.
Well, here's what happens. We go to somewhere in Colorado, like Colorado Springs area, but to a resort area that we're going to be training there, and the team's there and everything.
If that's the story you want to tell, you go ahead.
No, honest to God, we come back, he's got like the statue of a horse, a headdress, I'm like, what the hell is this? I needed some stuff for the basement. Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, but like, no rhyme nor reason. It's not like it's a log cabin. It's not like he's got a statue of a bear in the corner.
Dave, cool. Yeah, you're sort of built like me a little bit. Are you fearful of being around a guy like Chaser when you actually look at this guy, the way he's still ripped like this?
I wasn't when you guys were abusing me. Here's this guy that's sick.
Does it ever cross your mind, my God, if I were just to say the wrong thing to him, he could actually pull me apart like boiled chicken?
Well, when you say we're built the same in that we're both wearing a cup right now, is that kind of... That's what you mean, right?
That's right.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering where you're going with that. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mine's a Dixie cup, but I don't care. You know.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because one of the last times I talked to Joe Buck was when Joe Buck called me on a Sunday morning to make sure that I was still alive. Do you want to tell the story?
No, this is all yours.
So it's the Joe Buck annual Joe Buck All-Stars versus the brittle-boned media or something like that. We're all Joe Buck and all of his media friends versus the sort of athletic supporters,
types.
Athletic types.
Supporters.
We're up something like 13-0 at the end of the third inning. I am now
the media
circling the bases. We're beating the athletic guys. You know, we're beating the sports stars.
The ball players.
I am rounding third base, completing my third home run. Okay, my third home run. And I'm rounding third, and Chaser takes exception with the fact that I have put another run on the board at this point. And so he comes over as I'm rounding third, Dave, and picks me up and carries me over to the track and body slams me next to the dugout. Now, you know, I'm not...
Is this a light body slam or...
No, that's funny you should bring that up because it's not.
If you like just it would have been
really playful if he'd went along with it. But he's trying to he's going to wrestle me and fight back. At that point, I let him go. I'm like, all right, you want to be over my head and get let go here?
I tried to get my hand between your legs so that you might trip and fall down, and I would get away.
Oh, so he'd fall on top of you. That'd be better.
That's kind of what happened.
So Joe Buck calls me at like 7 o'clock the next morning to see if I'm all right, if I'm in the hospital. Jason Patrick, the actor Jason Patrick, was also on our team, and he said that. Patrick said to him, he says, did you see that? he like killed him over there. And it was just one of those things. That's why I asked
Let's regress a bit here. First of all, it wasn't quite 13-0. Secondly, the third home run, we're playing with the ball players, who I would assume they have a little bit of, hey, let's pride, let's just kind of get this thing done. They got Puck, his team that was just the media has Puckhead on it. A bunch of guys had just retired. Yeah. And his third home run came when he hit it in the gap out where Danny Cox was, and he had to put his beer down twice to go get the ball. It wasn't like it went over the fence or anything. Okay?
Like he dove for it or anything.
Right. Yeah. So I tell Cooler that it's 72 degrees here. Yes, I said it's 72 degrees here yesterday. I said, are you going to come? He says, oh, so that's great because I brought my tube top and my Viking helmet, so this is going to work out great too.
All right. Well, Kelly Chase is going to be performing at Art Vieloff's Comedy at Centra. I guess we ought to talk to Dave here. All right.
No, so. I'm thoroughly entertained. I'd rather go to your show than mine. No. Seriously.
All right. Let's talk about what you've been up to lately and what people can expect to see. I know you got a bunch of shows. You're going to be performing tonight at 8 o'clock, tomorrow night at 8, and Saturday night, 8 and 10:15, 618-628-4242, right across from the mall there in Fairview Heights. What's in your act these days?
Well, I'm writing new stuff, and the only way you can get out and try that stuff is to do what I'm doing this weekend, you know, and you got to get out there. You can't sit home for 6 months and just go, you know, I think this hour is going to do really great. Now I just need to go up and do this hour. You got to do it. You know, you got to kind of piecemeal it together. And that's what I'm doing. And St. Louis is a great, cross section of America to try new stuff. So I love coming here and working on stuff. So
how much of the stuff that you're doing these days is voices? Because people loved the voices in various reincarnations of various things.
I kind of throw them in. You know, I like doing obscure voices like Albert Brooks. Really? Do you think so? Oh, wow. Did you see me in Drive? Did you see that? A lot of people think I'm a comedian, but they see me in that, and I'm playing a ruthless criminal. Isn't that great? And a lot of people don't know that Bob Einstein from Curb Your Enthusiasm,
Super Dave,
Artie Funkhauser, doesn't know that that's my brother. Well, I think a lot of people don't know
They're, oh my God.
They're your brothers, Albert, because you just don't talk about me enough.
All right, now.
So that's very strange.
All right, now see, there you go. There's the that's worth the price of admission right there.
I like doing the weird ones like that.
Very, very good. Muppets. The Bob Einstein.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to work on, you know, the Muppet movie that's, you know, been out and such a big success. I got to work with Jim Henson many years ago on Muppet Babies. And that was so weird because we'd get notes and Jim talked, his normal voice was Kermit the Frog's voice. So he'd say stuff like, you know, I don't think Fozzie would do that here. Why don't we have some, like, when you're pushing him up the ladder and he falls down, some grunting and efforting sounds. And I would sit there and go, Kermit the Frog has a beard. It's a long-haired guy with a beard. That's Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
All right. We got a break here because you guys got in here just a little bit late.
Because we've talked too much, apparently.
No, we'll come back and pick up where we left off here. Dave Coulier is performing, starting tonight again, Comedy Etc., Fairview Heights.
You know, JC, you were just talking during the break there. You went down to Jamaica.
That's
I'm just looking here on the TV monitor, and it says Pat Robertson's going to he's advocating legalizing marijuana. You know, it's going to eventually get legalized, and when they do, I'm going to invest in every product Frito-Lay makes. The day it gets legal, I'm going, all right, Frito-Lay stock.
Yes, anything that is munchy.
Yeah, because, you know, you hear about people drinking and driving, which you should not do, you know, but what's the worst a pothead would ever do? Trip you to get a bag of chips? You know, sit there in their car and go, started the car yet. I'm supposed to be in Florida. Much safer.
What, you know, people always talk about Full House, and that's where everybody knows you from. But you also did that show called America's Funniest People.
Yes.
And you had two different co-hosts on that show.
I did. I started with Arlene Sorkin and ended up with Tawny and Hercatanes.
Yeah. Now, Tawny, of course, has a special place in the heart of every Cardinal baseball fan here.
Yes.
Because of Chuck Finley.
Chuck Finley.
So Chuck Finley, as we understand the story, is driving down the highway with Tawny Catane sitting there in the passenger seat. They're married. Something sort of goes wrong, and the next thing we know, Chuck Finley, the big 6 foot, I think he was 6'7", 6'8", something like that, big left-hander for the Cardinals, is like apparently going into the emergency room because she has beaten him up.
Mm-hmm.
Did she show any signs of aggressive behavior when you guys worked together on America's Funniest People?
They were pregnant with their daughter, Winter, while we were doing the show. And I always thought, you know, she's pregnant, so she's crazy. She's a little crazy.
Hormone.
Little hormone thing happening there. No, I think she just really was crazy.
She was on like Celebrity Rehab or Surreal Life or something like that. Not too long ago. She was crazy then too.
She was a little wacky. Yeah.
Of other people that you have worked with, talk about enjoyable experiences. And maybe because show business people don't like to tell names when they tell bad stories about experiences they had. But give me a little good and a little bad.
Well, you know, we're sitting here with Chaser, and he did Battle of the Blades up in Canada.
That's right.
And I did skating with celebrities here for Fox, and I got to skate with Nancy Kerrigan, was my partner, and she was great. And the first day, I'm skating around, and they had built, you know, rinks inside a soundstage. And so she comes in, we hadn't met, and I'm skating around with my hockey gear on and, you know, noodling with the puck a little bit. She's watching, and she goes, all right, let's see what you can do. So I skate around, I skate backwards. And she goes, all right, you're funny and you're fast, so let's go with that. And, you know, we decided we're going to just be the funny couple, you mm-hmm. know. So she was a blast.
So were you making Tanya Harding jokes to her?
I asked her about that. She was really good natured about that, but told me the whole story and just how weird it was and just how it just came out of the blue and just said, you know, what ruined it for her was here she showed up as an athlete to compete, and then suddenly she's a sideshow, and she wasn't taken seriously as an athlete after that.
When's the last time you remember hearing the name Jeff Galooly?
Oh, God.
You know,
yeah.
Jeff Galooly, it sort of goes into the pot there with, like, Faye Resnick from the O.J. trial and stuff like that.
She's on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Faye Resnick is?
Well, because she's friends with Kyle Richards. And so she pops up on the shows every now and then.
See, here's the thing I don't understand. Because
do you remember Faye Resnick?
She posed. Oh, yeah. She posed for Playboy. And where does that discussion begin?
That?
It's like, all right, let's see.
Yeah.
Her best friend was murdered. I think I'd like to see her naked. Is that the mentality?
Hey,
apparently it is.
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
So, can you say that? Can I say that?
Yeah, well,
I
you already did. That, so it's all right. All right. Sure. Okay. Sure. Sure.
So what will you guys do when he's not performing, Chaser? What will you guys do to entertain one another while he's in town?
Where are
you
gonna take actually, I missed out last night. I had a little altercation with the doctor again last night. So he decided he was going to keep me for a bit. So I had to peddle him off on Panger. So Darren Pang and him went and had some dinner and some laughs and
went over to Scott Trade. We watched the high school finals.
Yeah, they watched the finals.
Hung
so
out with
that.
Hung out with McInnes for a little while.
All right.
Yeah. It was a good
and
time.
And then tonight he's performing and we got a game. So maybe after we're gonna try and speaking of Joe, I might grab Joe Buck after and
we're
and
gonna
maybe,
probably sure. go to some Bible study.
Yeah,
sure, of course.
Movie
of course. Midnight Mass down in the cathedral. All
good book and a movie.
Sure. Say a rosary. Sure.
All kidding aside, how are you doing? I don't know that people have been brought up to date with what's going on with you. What are they telling you?
I'm gonna be on the right side of the grass here. Fine. I mean, we're just
right side of the grass.
We're gonna work through all of this little issues that I got.
So they're telling you basically. Oh
yeah, you know they're. Trying to find out what the deal is still, you know, and it's frustrating at times because I thought I had it licked and then I went and did that show and it was really good for me from a health perspective. And then, you know, and then you come back and you find out you got some other, you know, some stuff that's coming back a little bit here and there, but it's nothing that I think is serious. My family, you know, my kids, everybody sat down and reserved to the fact that I got the best medical help that anybody could have. And I don't worry too much about it, to be honest with you.
And from a friend's perspective, I told him, I think he's gotten smarter. I don't know what they're tweaking in there. If they get the screwdriver and they just turn the screw an extra little notch or whatever. I think he's gotten smarter.
Last night he's asking me all these terms and I'm giving him all these terms. He goes, dude, I got to tell you, I don't know what they're doing in there, but you sound way smarter. I said, well, I already feel better. Cooler. Thanks.
He's more well-spoken. Yeah. I just think you keep marching down that path.
Hey, listen, all you do, you get a little bit of health issues, they put you on a figure skating show. First of all, you're in Canada. You play 13 years in the NHL. I walk around Canada. Now they go, there's the figure skater. Yeah. Now that's what you want to be known for as a tough guy, the figure skater that played 13 years in the NHL. And then on top of it all, they stick you on national TV. So whatever went sideways, now I was good enough to be on a show, a reality show that's one of the most popular shows ever on Canadian TV. Oh, yeah, and they put you on national TV and the NHL Network. I'm like, what happened when I had all this time and could think? They don't want you to think. They want you to do what you're told.
Yeah, but just that could start a whole new career. You could go into wrestling. Here he is, the fighting figure skater.
Give you a little echo.
You run out with your skates on into the ring. Oh, yeah.
Now, Dave, again, going to be performing starting tonight, Art Vilas Comedy, et cetera, Fairview Heights across from the wall. When you are coming off the stage, you have audience interaction? I mean, will you come out, sit in the lobby and sign CDs? I don't know that you have any CDs.
Yeah, I don't
sell stuff.
If people
bring them from home or something.
Yeah, I wish it was that complex, you know, the big production that I'm bringing here to St. Louis. But, you know, I just kind of do my set and walk out. And, you know, people are always nice. The fans are always great. And so, you know, whatever happens kind of happens. But, you know, I don't set up a podium and wear a full house hat or anything.
You know. Although that's an idea.
But I can tell you thought about it. Yeah, that's
a little
the key.
Neon hat that blinks
key.
You Joey or something.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
Something like that.
Well, there you go. Dave Coulier and Kelly Chase along with me and Trish back in the day. Hope you enjoyed that. Just trying to throw anything out there today that's easy and can be laughed at. Everybody needs a little bit of a laugh here today. We'll try it again tomorrow. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Monday, January 10th, 2022. 302 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. This show is in the can. And if you've ever had it in the can, you know how painful that can be. But we'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you for telling all your friends that we are here every day. We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in these here United States. You can contact me, JC at jcontheline.com on Facebook. You can find us at The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We do politics only when it's absolutely unavoidable. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.